Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, there was a Mensa convention in San Francisco. Mensa, of course, is an organization whose members have an IQ of 140 or higher. Several of these Mensa members were having lunch at a local cafe. And while dining, they discovered that their salt shaker was filled with pepper and their pepper shaker was filled with salt. Well, the Mensa members, being naturally inquisitive, began to question how they could swap the contents of the two bottles without spilling any of the contents, using only the implements that they had available. So after all, you know, this is clearly a job for the best minds available. Well, the group debated and presented ideas and finally came up with a brilliant idea involving a napkin, a straw, and an empty saucer. They called their server over, convinced that they would dazzle her with their solution. "Ma'am," they said, "we couldn't help but notice that the pepper shaker contains salt and the salt shaker contains pepper." "Oh," said the server when they finally got her attention, "sorry about that." And without further comment, she unscrewed the caps of both the bottles, switched them, put them on the right bottle, and then said, "will that be one check or two?" I guess it wasn't as big a deal as they thought. Just like in our gospel and our first reading, John and Joshua are complaining about something that really shouldn't be a big deal. Jesus described his followers as the salt of the earth in Matthew 5 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." In Matthew's gospel, these words follow the Beatitudes and are often interpreted as referring to Jesus' expectations of his disciples. Mark uses the same imagery in Mark 9. "Salt is good," he says, "but if it's lost its saltiness, how can you season it?" Biblical scholar William Barclay interpreted Jesus' words like this: "When a thing loses its essential quality and fails to perform its essential duty, it is fit for nothing but to be thrown away." So, why salt? In those days, salt was a valuable commodity. Valuable for many reasons, for the preservation of food and for flavoring. Salt could be used to calm the flames of an open fire, to regulate the flames while cooking. We all know how essential salt is for enhancing the taste of food. So, why salt? Our reading today started with John complaining about someone casting out demons in Jesus' name, and it's obvious he didn't like it. But what's so interesting about this is that this text is a continuation of a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples from last week, from our reading from last week. In the first part of the story from last week, Jesus is holding a child in his arms and urging his disciples to attend to the children if they wish to pursue greatness, because the disciples had been arguing about who is the greatest. Jesus just said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So that's how he ended from last week, but it's a continued conversation. And he's teaching the disciples a good lesson when all of a sudden, out of left field, John says, teacher, and he starts talking about this person that is not one of them who is exercising a demon. He is steering the conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples from one of compassion and hospitality to himself and one of his own concerns or worries about things that are being done wrong, right? Well, one commentator, said that the speech patterns in Jesus' reply to John suggests surprise and frustration. So Jesus offers multiple responses to explain all that is wrong with John's condemnation of the exorcist, of the one casting out the demons. And he tells them not to stop him because they are not against Jesus. And frankly, the disciples are going to need others to help share the good news. This isn't a club, John, he says, or a secret society. Whoever is not against us is for us. Like Pastor Mike was saying last week, we are children of God first, but somehow we divide ourselves into our camps, our little divisions, with the understanding that we know better and that we can do better than the other. And because our gospel story is a continuation of last week's story, we think as we hear this gospel that Jesus is taking a leap in this conversation by bringing it back to the topic at hand when he starts talking about stumbling blocks for the little ones, right? But actually, Jesus is bringing the attention of the disciples back to his teaching about the child that is still in his arms. He has told them of the importance of welcoming the little ones, and now he warns of what will happen if they act hostily towards them. When seeing the narrative flow, this text warns of Jesus's missing of Jesus's call to care for the little ones. Inattention to the little ones imperils one's life. Children are portrayed as those who practice the key marker of discipleship. They trust and they believe in Jesus. The story warns us to pay attention to the children who give us access to the presence of God. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. There is something distinctive about Jesus' followers, something salty. If not, they would prove as worthless as the salt that would lost its zest, its taste. Bickering about status and complaining about someone who they felt was an outsider and didn't deserve to be using the name of Jesus betrays a deep misunderstanding of what it means to follow Jesus. In a world where you are constantly dealing with competitors and rivals, where advancement and promotion are all seem to be what is the big thing, where it seems that you had better look out for your own neck because no one else will. Speaking of taking time out to give a cup of water to one who is thirsty, well, that just seems foolish. That's an inefficient use of time. Why help the little ones? In this world where everyone seems to be guarding his or her own turf, just like John was in today's gospel and Joshua was in our first reading, you have got to look out for those upstarts who seem to pop out of nowhere and threaten to infringe on that which you thought was yours and yours alone. After all, everyone is for himself or herself, right? Wrong. We are called to pay attention to the children who give us access to the presence of God. We are to do all within our power to protect and care for these little ones within and outside of the community of faith, because sometimes we, like John, simply lose track of those whom Jesus has put in the center of our community. We become distracted by competition or our own status. Jesus calls us to be a community of peace where trusting children, trusting little ones, taking care of little ones is cherished, where being a child of God is imperative. And you can do it. You are salty people who can bring the peace of Christ to others. You can be that unauthorized minister who invites, who brings kindness, who gives a husky hug or a word of encouragement. So as you go about this week, May your faith be briny, your heart be peaceful, and remind others that they too are children of God. Amen. Let us sing our hymn of the day.